In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today's gospel, very familiar passage, brings to mind once again for us the awesome, fearful reality that this life is going to end one day. And the choices that we've made in this life will have eternal ramifications and consequences for us in the life to come. As we've said before, we tend to look at this life as the big show, so to speak. This is it. This is the big show. And the life to come, sort of like if you want to look at it as a book, would be sort of the appendix of the book. The book is the story of the book is what this life is about, according to the world's point of view. But in fact, our faith teaches us that it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. This life is like the blinking of an eye when compared to eternity. The choices we make in this life will have everything to do with what awaits us in the life to come. We have a God, the God who made us, who created us out of nothing, who loves us with a love that we can't even comprehend, wants desperately for us to be reconciled to Him. He wants to dwell in each and every one of us. He wants us to become the temple of the living God. This is what He created you and I for. He wants to be, when we talk about communion, you know, it's this being united to Him and enjoying the life that He brings to us on a daily basis, each and every day. What is available to you and to me, if we avail ourselves of it, is eternal life. Not eternal life that begins when we die and end this life, but eternal life that begins now, having Him dwelling within us. In John 15, the well-known passage where our Lord talks about the vine and the branches, and He calls us to abide in Him, to live in Him. This relationship with Him is an organic relationship. It's not some legalistic arrangement. It is based first and foremost in His love and the divine initiative that He has taken for our salvation, leaving nothing undone, so that we can be reconciled to God and we can have the hope of eternal life. Elsewhere, our Lord refers to Himself as the door to our salvation. And He says, this is the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The door, this passage from this world to the kingdom of God. That is what He wants for you and for me. That's the real show. He made us in His image. He wants us to become in His likeness. We have the potential to do that. Each of us has the potential to become the man or woman that God intends for us to be. And the choices we make, as I've already indicated, will have everything to do with whether or not that potential comes to reality. This door, who is Jesus Christ, is the way. It's the path of salvation. He calls us to Himself. And you know, each and every day, He calls us to go through doors, little doors, if you will, in this analogy. There are many doors, I don't know about you in your life, but I know in my life, there are many doors that our Lord calls me to come through, to go through, that I don't really want to go through. Some doors seem to be very threatening. You're not really sure what's on the other side. And from a distance at least, the appearance of certain doors is intimidating. And yet He calls us to come through those doors because He awaits on the other side. He is the door of doors, as it were. In so doing, as we go through these doors that He calls us to go through, the circumstances of our life that are difficult, as we take up our cross, the cross that He has given to us that we need for our salvation, and we must begin to see these doors, these obstacles of daily life in that way, in that manner. We don't enjoy suffering. We don't seek suffering. We're not masochistic. But we live in a fallen world, and suffering is part of the reality of that world. And the good news is that even our sufferings can become redemptive. Even our sufferings can become instruments used by God to lead us back to Him. To replace the passions of our life, anger, lust, greed, envy, all of these things, these illnesses of the soul, to replace those things with the virtues of God, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, to change from glory to glory, as St. Paul wrote. That's what He wants for you and for me. We must remember that He is the Good Shepherd. And His relationship with you is a very intimate relationship, or that's what He wants it to be. It is a two-way street, though. Any relationship is, you know. He will never force Himself on any of us. He is there always with open arms, ready to forgive our sins, ready to give us grace and healing mercies, to mold us, to shape us into the human being that He wants us to be. But we have to participate in that. We have to give ourselves over to it. And as Father Barnabas so eloquently stated Friday night at Holy Trinity and St. John the Theologian Church, this is not an easy path to walk. And if we expect that, we are going to be disillusioned and disappointed. But if we persevere, if we trust, place our trust in the living God, the one who made us out of nothing, over the course of time, the chaos, confusion, and hopelessness of this world subsides and gives way to the glory and the living hope that Christ Jesus brings to you and to me when He takes up residence in us. That's what we're called to. That's what all of this stuff is about. If we don't have that, then something is missing. Something is wrong. But we can never lose sight of the fact that the God we worship is a merciful God, a God of love, a God of forgiveness. And He stands ready to give His grace and His healing mercies to you and to me in each and every circumstance that we come across, no matter how bad or impossible it might seem. So what we have to do is to dare to trust Him. You know, there's that verse in Malachi, I believe, in the Old Testament, where he's actually referring to tithes and offerings. God is speaking in this verse, and He says, "Test me. Test me. See, you will see how faithful I am. Put me to the test." This is the essence of faith, is trust. Trust in the God who is there, the great I am. We have to deal with Him, each and every one of us. When we come today in the liturgy, any of our services, our prayers at home, and just going through daily life, we take Him with us. And when we're in His presence, there is an encounter with Him that grants us many different things that we need desperately to make it in this life and to become the person He wants us to become. Never lose sight, my dear friends, of the fact that Christ loves you. He died for you. When He was on the cross, when He was in Gethsemane and then ultimately on the cross, you were in His mind. He has this amazing capacity to be, for lack of a better way of expressing it, concerned with the macro of salvation and at the same time be concerned with the micro of your problems day in and day out. He's not indifferent to those things. Is God big? Of course He is. But He is not big in the sense that He forgets or ceases to care about the things that we have to deal with every day. He will use these things if we trust Him, if we submit the difficulties of daily life to Him, if we take up our cross, deny ourselves, and trust and believe in Him, then He will reveal Himself more and more and more. But we make those decisions incrementally, each and every day. The rich man gave himself totally over to the wealth of this world. He put his hope in something that could not possibly save him. Something that the glory of which would fade and be gone. And when he comes in this passage today, when he stands before God, he doesn't have recourse to go back and, take a mulligan. His life, his opportunity is over. We see, Lazarus is, on the other hand, lived a life of suffering, but a life in which he humbly submitted himself to it and trusted God, and there was a great reward awaiting him in the kingdom of heaven. This is reality. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves and to wake up and to realign our priorities in life. We thank God for our life. We thank God for the joys of this life. But this life is very temporary. Let us not take our salvation for granted, dearly beloved friends. We cannot take it for granted. Let us draw near to God in faith and with the fear of God and learn to love Him and to serve Him and to seek His kingdom. For truly where a man's heart is, there will his treasure be also. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.